Survivor Man, one of my favorite shows. Actually, Levi and I were watching it yesterday on TV. He goes to remote places, takes very little with him. He takes cameras that he uses to capture his 7 days wherever he is. Sometimes he's in the mountains, sometimes he's in a desert, sometimes he's on the ocean, sometimes he's just out there. But he shows you survival techniques. And in all those cases, he is always alone. There's nobody around. Now, I want you to think about the Apostle Paul this morning and think about the fact that the Apostle Paul is alone, though there are Christians around him, and particularly Luke primarily with him. The Apostle Paul finds himself in a situation where his life is about to end, and he is, in an essence, alone. But let me say this. He is never truly alone because he always has the presence of God and Christ with him. So let's look at what we want to look at today here. In tough times, Paul says, and he starts with a sense of urgency. He says, do your best to come to me soon. Spoudazo is do your best, and it means to work hard at something. And the word soon, takeos, means very soon and quickly. So when the apostle, or when Timothy reads this, it's not as if the apostle Paul is saying, come at your leisure, come when it's best for you. When Timothy reads these words, he realizes he needs to be packing yesterday. And so this is something that the Apostle Paul is thinking about. Do your best to come to me soon. And the question is, why does he have to come to him soon? Well, Paul's in jail in Rome. He's in prison in Rome. He knows he's going to be put forth as a martyr for Christ. He will die for the cause of Christ. But also the Apostle Paul knows the judicial system in Rome. Very slow process. In fact, if you go to Acts chapter 24, which Bill loved, the book of Acts, Festus had kept Paul in prison for 2 years. And when Felix relieved Festus, he decided, because it would be beneficial to the Jews, to just go ahead and leave Paul in prison for a little longer. So the Apostle Paul had a history of understanding that his imprisonment would be quite long and it would end quite miserably, at least on this side of the fence. So the question, another question stands out is, why does Timothy have to hurry to Paul if there's that much time? If we look at a map here, you can see that Rome is up here. Timothy is in Ephesus. We do know he will go up this way initially to pick up Paul's cloak and some other items. But he probably would not have gone this way. He might have jumped on a ship here and come down, which would have been probably the more normal route. This is the island of Crete where Titus was left. And he will come around this way through Malta and come back around up this way. So what is the distance if you just go from here straight across to Rome? You're looking at, depending on models, probably 800 to 900 miles. Now, you add this little dimension to it, and now you're talking 3 to 4 months worth of travel. Suppose that the Apostle Paul wrote this letter, which I believe Tychicus probably carried back to Ephesus for Timothy to read. Supposing that the Apostle Paul wrote this in March, you have April, May, June, July. Timothy gets the letter in July, August, September, October, November. You have an 8-month swing. The letter has to get to Timothy. Timothy reads it and realizes that the Apostle Paul wrote this many months ago. I need to get ready and I need to leave now. And so that's why the sense of urgency. So Paul is really looking here at 8 months. That's why he says, basically, as soon as you get this letter, Please come to me. And by the way, when we have situations in life and people need us, go immediately. Don't say, well, I've got 2 or 3 days to get there. Go immediately. Because tough times will come. Now, the situation, Paul writes, for Demas, the saddest case in the New Testament, Demas. I think one of the saddest cases in the New Testament. Look at the epitaph that Paul leaves for Demas. In love with the present world has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Demas, actually probably formerly known as Demetrius, mentioned by the Apostle Paul, possibly in Philemon, verse 24. And we find there Demas along with Mark, which is possibly a reference to the Demas here. In that case, the Demas was commended. Here, not so much so. It's a bad situation that Paul writes about. From his name, we understand that he was not Jewish. And so he, at some point, was with the Apostle Paul, possibly in prison, and could have actually, for the prosecution, given some information about the Apostle Paul, and therefore decided to desert the Apostle Paul in favor of a life of ease and comfort. But Paul is very clear here. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me. What an epithet. Agapao is the Greek word there for love, which means to take pleasure in. And for the Wednesday night crowd that has gone through the introduction to the New Testament, you're very aware of Thessaloniki, which was named after Alexander the Great's stepsister, which I'm sure he had no problem naming the city after his stepsister. And this is Thessaloniki today, still thriving, still going. But there's something that's interesting. This mountain back here, which is a backdrop for Thessalonica. It's Mount Olympus. Mount Olympus is where they had all of the gods. So here you have Demas. Now think about this for a second. Having loved this present world has deserted me. In essence, I believe the Apostle Paul is saying here, he was with me serving the true God, but has deserted the true God to chase after many gods, which are of themselves not gods, because our Lord and Savior is stronger than any man-made God, and who is sovereign over everything. And so here you have, much like Paul writes in the letter to the Corinthian church, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot obey the gospel. This is a bad thing. You would not want to be known. Your last act, you maybe had started out well, you were running well, and then all of a sudden something happened and you left to go off to chase the world. Not the best way to be remembered. Not the best way to be remembered. And I think it's a sad case. The word there, deserted, means abandoned. Let me remind all of us this morning. 1 John 2:15 says this, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I read some scholars this week that believe that the Apostle Paul was not saying that Demas was unsaved. I disagree with that. You know, there's parables that Jesus spoke about when he was here. One of them was the parable of a sower. Some of the seed fell among the rocks and it sprung up, but when the sun came out, it killed it. Some came up among the thorns, and when it grew up, the thorns choked it out. But some fell on good soil. I think what we have here is an image of somebody who was truly not saved. That makes the soil most important. And I'm going to say this, and you've heard me say this before. I believe once saved, always saved. Once in Christ, always in Christ. But my big argument is this. You have to be in Christ to reap the benefits. So saying a prayer, a simple prayer when you were a child or maybe even as an adult, is not the equation of salvation. Salvation is a heart transformation. And if it is in good soil, it will produce fruit. And if it's in bad soil, you will see the results sooner or later. And I think what happened here is that Demas maybe not fully understood, and his heart was not quite ready to receive the true gospel. Because why would you abandon one of the greatest apostles to chase after the world? One commentator got it right. He said what happened was that when he saw the difficulty that Paul was going through, he chose the life of ease and left him. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God, but he who does the will of the Father. Now, let me say this. We don't do it perfectly. Please don't go out of here thinking that Pastor Mike said you have to live a perfect Christian life. We all sin, struggle, and make mistakes and stumble. But the issue here is, have you truly been redeemed by the blood of Jesus? And if you have, there will be an intense desire at some point in your life to want to please God with your life. Demas, not a good poster child, if you will, for the Christian faith. There's some good news here. Demas, having gone, loved the world. There is some good news. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. So here we have a situation. This is actually pretty close. So by mentioning here Titus, no doubt that his time at the island of Crete was done. And then you have a long stretch here. So you have a sending out of these two people who were probably with the Apostle Paul. I'm not sure about Titus. Titus probably was down here, and as the letter made its way around, maybe to here, he sent him up. So there's this whole issue of moving pieces around. It's cryptic in the sense that the Apostle Paul knew but did not share why he sent him to Dalmatia. And it would have also been cryptic why the Apostle Paul sent over here Crescens over to Galatia. There had to be a mission for it. Let me say this too. In situations in life, we're going to see bad situations and we're going to see good situations. But I also want us to understand that even in the bad situations, God is always with us. Even when people abandon you, you feel alone, God is always with you. And the fact that these two Crescens and Titus were moved around, the Apostle Paul still saw the ministry as primary at his own personal cost. And yeah, he mentions Demetrius leaving him, but he also says, you know what, the work of ministry trumps my personal life. That gives us really, I'm telling you, that gives us a real window into the heart of Paul. He loved Jesus so much that his life was second place. Brothers and sisters, that's what our life's supposed to be with Jesus every day. You want to live to a standard other than Jesus Christ, and I'm talking good standards, live to the Apostle Paul's standards. He said, I count all things lost in order to gain Christ. I put all things behind me in order that I may run towards the prize to see Jesus. And you know, speaking of Brother Bill, I saw that in Bill. Oh yeah. Yeah. There is no doubt this morning that Bill, who used to sit over here in our sanctuary and worship with us on Sunday morning, is in the presence of Jesus worshiping with him. No doubt in my mind. No doubt in my mind. Well, there are tough times, we do need help. In tough times, we do need help. Now notice what Paul writes here. Luke alone is with me. And we read on in the letter, we find out that there were others around the Apostle Paul, but they were not with the Apostle Paul. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he has been very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus, I have sent him to Ephesus. So Luke, the famous physician, is with the Apostle Paul. He trusted Luke. He was with Paul on his first imprisonment. And there's some that speculate that Luke may have been the Emmanuelist that helped the Apostle Paul write this letter to send to Timothy. That could be a possibility. But the fact is, Luke was with Paul. And Luke was Paul's close associate. Now Mark, actually John Mark, give you a little history here. Barnabas wanted to take Mark with him, and the Apostle Paul said no, back in the book of Acts. And there was a fight between them. So Barnabas took Mark and went another direction, and Paul went the other direction. Now it's interesting, somewhere along the line, Mark became faithful to Christ. Somewhere along the line, when they were separated, this is always the case. There's so many things here. Sometimes God is able to change a life that is truly dedicated to him over time. Paul, when he first met Mark, said he cannot be trusted. Now, Paul, in his final months, is now asking for Mark. That is the influence of the gospel and the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. In somebody's life, you have a starting point and God begins to work and change and mold you for those who are willing to be molded, who have not already hardened up and turned their back. God is willing to work with anyone. And here, on his deathbed, so to speak, he's asking for Mark. Not only that, he says he's been very useful to me. It didn't start out like that, but it is ending like that. Have you ever met people that got saved and you're thinking, oh my gosh, there's no way God's going to be able to work with this person. And then you see them 15 years later. By the way, Pastor Mike, I'm in ministry serving Christ. Wow. Now he wants him. Tychicus. I have a theory here. It's cryptic to a lot of scholars, but I think, my personal opinion, is that he sent Tychicus. Now notice what Paul writes here. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Who is in Ephesus right now? Timothy. Paul said, Tychicus, I want you to go to Ephesus and take over for Timothy so that Timothy can come here. Tychicus, I'm telling you, if the Apostle Paul is sending him to relieve Timothy, Tychicus was dedicated to Christ. That's a good thing. That's what we want to be remembered. Beyond these things that we just talked about as reference to ministry, the Apostle Paul is moving pieces around in ministry. And you know what? God does that today. He moves pieces around. So when we have losses, just remember we also will have gains. God never leaves his church without workers. God never leaves you without people that will help you, that will come alongside. He is constantly moving things around. And you can see the Apostle Paul, even in this late hour, when he knows that his martyrdom is straight ahead, somewhere down the road, and it's not a long way down the road, he is still thinking about Ephesus. I need to have a replacement there. Tychicus, you are strong enough. I trust you. I'm sending you. And when you get there, tell Timothy to get here. And he is moving pieces around. The Apostle Paul is just awesome. I would like to be 1/10 of what the Apostle Paul was. By the way, Mark, get Mark and bring him with me, for he's very useful to me in ministry. Very useful in ministry is this: valuable in ministry task. Let me ask you a question this morning. Could the Apostle Paul say of you that you are very valuable for ministry? If you were gone, what aspect of the ministry would suffer? It's a tough question to answer. We have a good church because most of our people are working and are dedicated. And as your pastor, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. But Paul did ask for some comforts. This really hit me this week. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas. Also the books, and above all, the parchments. So when Timothy gets this letter, and I just show you, this is his Paul's third missionary journey just by way of a map. But Timothy has to go from Ephesus up to Troas to pick up Paul's cloak. Cloak is a coat that you would wear because it's cold. So Timothy has to come up here. Now the question is, does he come this way? My guess is that he caught a ship and the normal route would be down through here and around. Some scholars think he might have come down this area, but I think it's a much shorter trip. Instead of going way over here, just to catch a ship here and go down through the canal there and then out through the Mediterranean Sea, out back and around to Rome. Timothy probably could not have gotten to Troas any faster. Tychicus says, here's a letter that the Apostle Paul wanted you to have. Timothy read it, goodbye. That's kind of the image that I get. Because remember, Timothy is Paul's son in the faith. Reads it, gone. No doubt that it was probably cold in the jail cell, this time not under house arrest, this time in prison. Nights could be very cold. And the Apostle Paul wanted those comforts. But look at the other comforts. It would be like saying, oh, bring my commentaries. Because really, that's a lot of what I read. Bring my commentaries or a sermon CD of a long sermon that I preached back in 2015. That was the Apostle Paul. That's his idea of comforts. I want a cloak to stay warm. That's physical. But, and we have no idea what these books were. We have no idea, and just speculation at best. But we do know what parchments are for. Parchments were made of animal skin. They were stretched so that you could write on them. Tell you what Paul's doing. He's getting ready to write some letters. We have no idea what the books were. Doubtful they were commentaries. They didn't probably have commentaries back then. It wasn't until the first century with some of the first century fathers. But whatever those books were, I am willing to bet. As a matter of fact, I am willing to bet the farm that they were spiritual in nature. Because just looking at Paul's life, there is no doubt he probably wanted some comfort and maybe some books that were already published in spiritual issues. But Timothy knew what those books were. Only Timothy. Paul doesn't say, bring me a commentary from the Old Testament. He doesn't say that. But if we were to take just a quick guess and throw a dart at it, I would say these were spiritual in nature. And that's what he wanted. Now let me say this. For us, in our lives, there are times when people need comforting. We should do that. We should try to comfort them in whatever difficulty or situation that they're going in. We can't allow ourselves to neglect helping others. In fact, that's our call. Our call is to reach out and try to comfort those who are hurting, whether through death, whether through recovery, physical recoveries, emotional situations or circumstances, anything along those lines. We're to be there to comfort others. That's what Timothy was doing. The Apostle Paul said, I'm going to grab the books, I'm going to go pick up the cloak, and then I'm coming to see Paul. It's too bad. I like a good ending. All of us like a good ending, right? I do not like movies where you're left like, ugh, that was horrible. You can't end the movie like that. I'm going to say it this way. I'm going to choose to believe that Timothy made it to see Paul before he was executed. That's how I'm going to leave it. That's what I want to believe. And I believe that the Apostle Paul got his coat, got his books, saw Timothy, and then, of course, the crown of righteousness next on his plate. For us today, we're going to close with this. Minister to people in difficult times. Please do that. That's so important. People need it. When somebody needs you, go. Don't hesitate. Leave and go. Remain faithful to Christ. Don't be a Demas. Be a Tychicus. Be a Timothy. Be a Crescens. Be a Mark. Be a Luke. Be faithful. You will.